Great, Trevor. Thanks. Good morning, everyone. I want to give you, on the first page, an overview of a really good quarter for the company and confirm a strong outlook as we think about 2011. The environment continues to improve. Really, it's broader and deeper as we look across the portfolio. A good strength in orders. Losses are down. Credit demand's up. Across the rail and aircraft market, very strong. So, as I've said in the past, we just think the economy can get a little bit stronger every day. We had good top-line performance, the best in a while, 6% industrial organic growth, and then infrastructure orders up 12%, equipment up 20%, services up 5%. We end the year with a very strong backlog. Earnings growth continues to improve, continuing EPS up 33%. Capital had another very strong quarter. And total industrial segment profit, including NBC, was up 8%. We did do a lot of restructuring in the quarter. We had 10-cent industrial tax benefits offset by 10 cents restructuring and other charges, including the Hudson remediation. And so I think what we've been able to do is significantly risk reduce 2011. Our execution was strong, CFOA on the high end. We end with a lot of cash on the balance sheet, operating profit rates at 17.5%. The capital portfolio transformation is advancing. We had a very good value gap in 2010. We built our operating plans in 11 expecting a lower value gap. And we're executing, I think, a balanced and disciplined capital allocation plan. We bought back $1.8 billion of stock. We've had two dividend increases. The first quarter 11 dividend will be 40% higher than the first quarter of 10. And we're executing on valuable infrastructure acquisitions. So, again, I think a good overview for the company. On the next page, orders grew at 12%. This is the highest order intake since 2007. We end 2010 with a record backlog, and it's very broad-based. I think if you look across the energy segments, oil and gas was very strong. Services growing. We still expect energy equipment to turn positive in 2011, but a lot of good signs. Aviation, again, very strong. Healthcare growth continues. And transportation recovery, there's fewer locomotives parked. We had 240 North American locos. So, again, we feel very good about the backlog and how we're positioned going forward, just given the overall strength of our order base. On the next page, on execution, our segment operating profit rate was up 10 basis points. Again, as I said, a positive value gap, healthcare volume leverage. Aviation was impacted by some one-time costs in the fourth quarter, and we think that improves going into 2011. And then R&D, you know, was a full point of impact, and we grew our operating profit rate despite the fact we've increased R&D investment by 21%. And so we entered 2011 with a full backlog of products. Really the R&D spend is in our run rate, and we just see 50 new NPIs on healthcare. Significant global investment in country, for country. So we really have a great foundation for organic growth, and we were able to deliver on operations while investing for future growth. On the next page on cash, you know, our cash flow ended up at the high end of our range at $14.7 billion. We improved our working capital turns by one full turn. And if you look at the right-hand side of the page, our consolidated cash is $79 billion. Cash at the parent is a record in my history at $19 billion. And you can just see the way we executed this year on CFOA, dispositions. And so we really entered 2011 with a lot of financial flexibility and just a lot of cash, available cash at the parent. So we feel good about that. Lastly, before I turn it over to Keith, you know, really a lot's happened at vis-a-vis NBCU since the December meeting. I think when we were together in December, we thought we would close the NBCU transaction. That slipped into January. We should close the transaction next Friday. As we said, this is a high pre-tax gain, a small after-tax gain. We'll have about $3 billion tax charge that will impact the GE tax rate in 2011. So we were booking at that higher rate through the third quarter. Keith will go through this in a little bit more detail. We reversed that in the fourth quarter. We'll have a higher tax rate in the first quarter of 11 and for the total year. We still expect about a nickel EPS impact from the NBCU going from 80% to 49% in 2011. And we'll use the gain, to fund additional restructuring in 2011. There's no change to the overall outlook of how we think about 2011 or 2010 from this, because any gain will be used against restructuring, but it does change the tax rate.
Tax rate, as you said, you know, we're going to have a pre-tax gain plus a high tax charge. It doesn't change the EPS.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah, not at all. And then on from a parent cash standpoint, we ended the year at $19 billion. Once we close next Friday, we'll have about $22 billion of cash. And we plan to continue to execute a balanced and disciplined capital allocation program. You've seen what we've done with the dividends. We've relaunched the buyback. And then we've announced four transactions that are really right over the plate for us in our sweet spot in energy and healthcare. Really, the right size deals are going to help us grow. So this is really, I think, a good news page for investors. So with that, let me turn it over to Keith to go through the fourth quarter financials.
Okay, Jeff, thanks a lot. I'm going to start with the fourth quarter summary. We had continuing operations revenues of $41.4 billion, which were up 1%. Industrial sales at $28.7 billion grew 1%, and financial services revenue at $12.8 billion was down 2%. We earned $3.9 billion in net income. That's up 31%. And for earnings per share, we earned 36 cents, including the cost of the preferred dividend. So earnings per share were up 33%. As Jeff covered, the total cash flow from operating activities was $14.7 billion for the year at the high end of our original range. And let me spend a minute on taxes. I think it was one of the more complicated quarters for taxes. We had several large moving parts affecting the fourth quarter. The largest was whether NBC would close. Obviously, that didn't, and that had an impact. We also had a potential IRS settlement as they were completing the audit of the 2003 to 2005 tax year, and we didn't know exactly what the amount of the settlement would be and whether it would have been completed entirely in the fourth quarter. And then finally, we had to, you know, estimate how much restructuring we were going to have in the fourth quarter while we were in open negotiations with the EPA over the Hudson. So here are the details of how those items came out. You know, as we said in the third quarter call on earnings, we expected a lower than usual tax rate for the fourth quarter due to potential favorable tax settlements with the IRS. Those settlements were finalized in the quarter, and which basically with the tax settlements, that led to a very low consolidated rate with the other items of negative 17% in the quarter. Absent NBC closing, we expected a GE rate below our third quarter year-to-date rate of 26%, mostly from those settlements, and we ended with a total year rate of 17%. So I tried to do a little walk on the box here just to take you from the 26% third quarter year-to-date rate down to what we actually realized. About 4 points of the decrease is due to the favorable audit resolutions. We also had anticipated NBC closing, and since it didn't close, we had a lower rate in the fourth quarter by about 3 points. And finally, the rate's about 2 points lower because of the charges, including the Hudson that we took in the fourth quarter, which are at very high tax rates, and other fourth quarter charges. So I'm going to cover more on taxes on the next page, but that's the breakout of how we got from a 26% third quarter year-to-date rate down to 17. You know, for GE Capital, the JEX rate for the fourth quarter goes from a large positive in 2009 to a negative in 2010. That's actually good news. We had $1.8 billion in higher pre-tax income at GE Capital year over year. Obviously, that resulted in a lower tax benefit. And for the year, the JEX tax benefits compared to a normal 35% rate came in at about $1.7 billion, in line with the tax benefits we outlined that we expected for the year. For 2011, for GE, we expect a rate somewhere in the mid-20s, again, excluding the NBCU gain and the tax on that gain. I'll cover that. For GE Capital, we expect tax benefits similar to 2010. The total year credit was somewhere around $1.7 billion, and that would be adjusted for whatever the impact of higher pre-tax income is at a 35% rate. So a pretty similar profile in GE Capital in terms of benefits globally in 2011 versus 10. And on the right side, you can see the segment results. Industrial Businesses ex Media had $4.2 billion of segment profit, up 4%. That was led by Tech Infra and HMBS. NBC Universal had a very strong quarter, and GE Capital continues to rebound. Net income of $1,056,000,000. It's up over 10 times from the fourth quarter last year, a strong performance. Overall segment profit up 28%, and with corporate and taxes about flat year-over-year, the total earnings were up 31%. So it's great to have the top-line growth resume. It's great to have the operating segment profit improving, and the tax benefits that we realized in the fourth quarter funded restructuring and other charges. And the next page takes you through that in more detail. Basically, we had taxes and restructuring and other charges in the quarter. And to look at it, during our third quarter earnings webcast and at the December meeting, we tried to outline this. We said that we expected with all the open items we had, that overall any charges in the fourth quarter would exceed any positive items. But the biggest change we had in the fourth quarter was that NBC deal didn't close. And that resulted in higher tax benefits than we were planning on. And so the charges in the fourth quarter ended up equaling the gains. And let me go through the details. First is taxes. Overall, we had 10 cents of after-tax favorability from the tax settlements and the NBCU deal delay. We settled 2003 to 2005 year with the IRS, resulting in about 5 cents of benefits at corporate. And the second item for NBC, as you know, under the accounting for taxes, APB 28, we have to book our tax rate all year to a full-year expectation. And we expected NBCU to close at a high tax rate in December. When NBC didn't close, we had to reverse the adjustments for the first three quarters. In total, that was also about 5 cents of tax benefits in the fourth quarter. The offset to the tax benefits was mostly in corporate. We had 6 cents of after-tax environmental reserves. We added to our existing reserves for the Phase 2 on Hudson dredging. That was an incremental 5 cents. And we had a 1 cent increase for other brownfield site remediations across the company. We also booked 3 cents in corporate for industrial cost and footprint reductions. We had about a penny in appliance and lighting for ongoing manufacturing rationalization. We continue to see the benefits of the cost out in those businesses. We also had about a penny each in healthcare and energy for other cost reductions. And we had 1 cent in capital corporate, mostly for equipment services downsizing. So the tax benefits in the fourth quarter, 10 cents, were offset by additional restructuring and other charges, and the majority of that was also in corporate with 1 cent over in capital corporate. Now, down the bottom, we also had 3 items go into discontinued operations in the fourth quarter. We sold our Central American Bank to Grupo Aval from Colombia, resulting in an 8 cent after-tax gain in disc ops. And we announced the sale of RV Marine and our Mexican mortgage business to Santander in the fourth quarter. That resulted in a 2 cent loss in disc ops, and those transactions also result in $13 billion of ending net investment reduction, so a nice exit for GE Capital team, some non-strategic parts of the portfolio. Overall, a good quarter when you look at the continued restructuring and the long-tail risk reduction. So let me shift now, and I'll start with the businesses. I'm going to start with GE Capital. Mike Neal and the team continue to demonstrate that capital is getting stronger and stronger. Revenue of $11.9 billion was down 4%. That's driven by lower assets and dispositions year over year. Pre-tax earnings of $959 million, that was up $1.8 billion over last year's fourth quarter. And the net income of over $1 billion was up over $950 million versus last year. That's driven by lower credit costs. We see that across the portfolio, higher margins, and that's partially offset by the lower assets and higher impairments that we had in the quarter. We ended the year with $477 billion of ending net investment. That's down 9% from January 1st. If you remember, we added a bunch of assets as part of the consolidation from FAS 167, and the details of that are in the supplemental schedules that we published this morning. We're ahead of our ending plan to get to $440 billion by 2012. The team's done a great job executing that. And another highlight would be new volume in the quarter. Commercial volume was up over 50% over last year to $17 billion, mostly driven by our CLL business at good, strong margins. You can see the details here. And overall, we did $49 billion of volume with consumer up 3%. I'm going to cover the asset quality metrics in a few pages, so here are some of the comments by business. First is consumer. Consumer business finished the year with continued strong performance. They delivered $574 million in net. It's up $350 million over last year's fourth quarter, 156% up. And the earnings growth came from lower credit losses and higher margins, partially offset by lower tax benefits. If you look, the main driver was the U.S. retail business. We earned $362 million. It's up over 700% from last year, driven by the portfolio quality improvements, which led to both lower credit costs and better margins. Our global banking business had a good quarter. They earned $283 million. That's up 85%, driven by lower credit costs again. And even in the U.K., the U.K. home lending business continued to be positive. It earned $62 million in the quarter. And our owned real estate portfolio was the lowest since the first quarter of 2008. We're down to 733 properties. And we continue to do better than our marks on properties when we sell them. Our realization was 115% in the fourth quarter. Commercial real estate, the next business, continues to be challenging, as we expected. The business lost $409 million of net income. That's $183 million better, though, than last year. And the income improvement was driven by lower credit losses on our debt book. That includes $99 million of recoveries we had on previously reserved accounts. Excluding those recoveries, during the fourth quarter, we had about $60 million of after-tax credit losses, and that's down $119 million from the third quarter. So we saw improvement in the debt book. While the credit costs on our debt book were better, the marks and impairments on our equity book were $473 million after tax in the quarter, and that was up about $158 million from third quarter, principally driven by some lower valuations we saw in Japan on some owned properties. While the total losses in the business are still too high, we have seen some improvements here. Delinquencies and non-earnings and credit losses were down from third quarter. We reduced our assets by $13.6 billion, or 16%, since January 1, and the unrealized loss on our equity book went from about $7 billion a year ago to about $5 billion in the fourth quarter. Next is commercial lending and leasing. The team also had a strong quarter with earnings of $567 million. They're up $216 million, or 60%, versus last year. The results were driven by lower losses. Earnings growth was very broad-based. The Americas were up 39%. Europe and the Middle East and Africa was up 60%, and Asia was up 22%. GECAS had a good quarter, earnings of $432 million. They were up 50% over last year, driven principally by lower taxes. That was partially offset by about $20 million of higher impairments for some 737 and A318 classics. The portfolio remains in great shape. We ended the year with one aircraft on the ground, and that's in the process of being released. And finally, Energy Financial Services also had a positive quarter with earnings of $33 million, up 8%. So overall, a lot of strong execution by business, and now I'm going to cover asset quality. On portfolio quality, as you can see in these charts, the measurements continue to improve, and in the interest of time, I'm just going to summarize a couple of points. For both CLL and consumer, our delinquencies and our non-earning balances continue to get better. And the one thing I want to point out on the page, on the left side, we've expanded our commercial delinquency reporting. We used to report delinquency for a subset of CLL. We called it equipment. And for simplicity and clarity, we're now reporting delinquency for all of CLL, and the trends are the same on the old basis or this basis. So there's no difference in the lines, really, and where we're going, but it's a more complete reporting. So on the left side, our commercial delinquencies, you can see the percents of delinquency are down. The actual dollars were down over $400 million from Q3, and our non-earning dollars were down $100 million from Q3. The one piece of news here on the left is, on the bottom left, our real estate delinquencies declined by 133 basis points in the quarter. That's the first decline in real estate delinquencies in 9 quarters. On the right side, you can see the improvements in our consumer metrics. Consumer delinquencies were down $385 million from the third quarter, and non-earnings were down $185 million from the third quarter. So overall, strong improvements in the asset quality continue. Next is a little bit on the reserves. That asset quality improvement that we're seeing is impacting our reserve balance. The reserve balance declined by $800 million, you can see, from Q3 to Q4. We put the reasons for the decline in the box at the top center of this page. The majority of the decline comes from write-offs exceeding our new loss provision. So we wrote off $2.2 billion of receivables, and we added $1.6 billion of new provisions for losses for a net reduction of $600 million. We also had $200 million of transaction recoveries against previously reserved accounts and reserve releases, and you can see that split between consumer and commercial real estate. So in answer to the question, how much of GE Capital income comes from reserve releases, it's about $200 million pre-tax in the fourth quarter. As you can see in the chart, we had about $500 million of the reserve reductions were in commercial and about $300 million in consumer, and overall coverage was down slightly, driven by the improvements we have in delinquencies and non-earnings. So next, I'll shift to the industrial businesses. I'll start with NBC Universal. Jeff Zucker and the team had a great fourth quarter. Revenues of $4.8 billion were up 12%. Segment profit of $830 million is up 38%. Even if you adjust for the impact of the increased GE ownership in our agreement with Vivendi, we purchased an additional 8% at the end of September. Excluding that impact, profit was still up 30%. And the results were broad-based. Cable continues to deliver terrific performance. The revenues of $1.5 billion were up 15%, and segment profit of $740 million was up 16%, driven by great strength in the entertainment properties. Broadcast revenue of $1.8 billion, that was up 11%, and the segment profit was also positive, driven by a strong performance in local media, great performance in the NFL and news, partially offset by continued investments that the team's making in primetime programming. And Film and Parks had another strong quarter with revenues up 9%, op profit up over 80%. The DVD units were up 15%, driven by the success of Despicable Me. And the Parks continued their strong performance, driven by both Potter and King Kong. As you know, we received regulatory approval this week, and the deal is scheduled to close next Friday. And as we go forward, when we start in the first quarter, we're going to begin reporting our 49% stake in the new company on a one-line equity contribution basis. So next is energy infrastructure. John Kornicki and the energy team delivered revenues of $10.9 billion. They were down 3%. Segment profit of $2.2 billion, down 2%, in line with our expectations. You can see the business results on the bottom left, and I'll start with more details on energy. Energy had orders of $9.8 billion. They were up 1%. Equipment orders of $4.7 billion were down 8%. If you go to the big pieces, thermal orders of $1 billion were down about 41%, driven by some tough comparisons. We had orders for 29 gas turbines in the fourth quarter of 10 versus 40 in the fourth quarter of 09. On the wind side, we had orders of $1.3 billion. They were down 17%. We had orders for 477 units versus 729 units last year in the fourth quarter. On the positive side, orders for digital energy and industrial controls at $1 billion, they were up 10%. And aero orders of $900 million were more than double last year. Service orders of $5.1 billion were up 10%, driven by the strong growth in power gen services, up 17%. Our overall equipment backlog at $11.6 billion is up 6% versus the third quarter, and the services backlog of $7.4 billion was up 3% versus the third quarter. So a pretty good orders quarter. We're seeing a change in the pace of decline, and that's positive, and you can see that on a rolling orders basis. If you look at orders price for the quarter, it's down 3% across energy, driven by power and water, which was down about 6%, and services was flat. In the quarter, revenues at $8.8 billion, down 5%, driven by the lower volume. We shipped 18 gas turbines versus 34 last year in the fourth quarter, and we also had fewer steam turbines and generators. We also had $400 million lower balance of plant revenue, which, as you know, doesn't come with a lot of margin. It's mostly a pass-through, so that was down. And service revenues of $4.2 billion were up 4%, driven by the outage and upgrade activity that we saw in the quarter. Segment profit of $1.8 billion, down 3%, as the positive pricing and deflation was more than offset by the lower volume and higher investments in new products. For oil and gas, Claudia Santiago and the team ended the year with strong orders. Orders of $2.9 billion were up 15%, a quarterly record for the business. Equipment orders of $1.7 billion were up 23%. That was driven by strong natural gas production orders in Saudi Arabia and Qatar. Service orders of $1.2 billion were up 4%, driven by spares growth, and the orders price index was down 1% in the quarter. Revenues of $2.4 billion were up 5%. Equipment revenues of $1.4 billion were strong. They were up 10%, driven by growth in natural gas, LNG, and drilling and production, pretty broad-based. And service revenues of $1 billion were down 2%, up 5% ex-FX, so a little impact of the stronger dollar. Segment profit of $435 million was up 3%. That's driven by the higher volumes, which was partially offset by the stronger dollar and some investments in the new products and service support as we opened two new service centers in Algeria and Qatar. So for the year, the team delivered $7.3 billion of segment profit, up 2%, with segment margins of 19.4%, up 1.9 points. Next is tech infrastructure. John Rice and his team delivered strong results in the fourth quarter, and we entered 2011 with some pretty good momentum. You know, revenues of $10.9 billion were up 9%, and segment profit of $1.9 billion was up 11%. If you start with aviation, the aviation marketplace continues to improve. In 2010, revenue passenger miles were up 9%, freight was up 22%, parked aircraft declined by 5% to about 2,300 units at the end of the year, and the team had very good orders. Orders of $5.8 billion were up 32%. The growth was pretty broad-based. Commercial engine orders of $2 billion were up 117%, driven by CFM and small commercial, and military orders of $300 million were up two times over last year's fourth quarter. The equipment orders price index was up 6.5%. We ended the quarter with our major equipment backlog at $20 billion, up 1% versus fourth quarter 09. Service orders were down 4%. Commercial spare parts orders were $25 million per day, which was reported up 2%. But again, if you adjust for the 2009 Aviol order, it would have been up about 28%, similar to the Q3 growth. Revenues of $4.8 billion in the quarter were up 1%, driven by the higher commercial engine revenues up 8%, partially offset by lower service revenues down 4%. And segment profit in the quarter, $821 million, was down 14%. It's slightly better than the third quarter year-to-date run rate. And results in the quarter were driven by the pressure from Gen X units. We shipped about 26 Gen X units in the quarter, and accruals for cost overruns from some customer-driven engineering changes on a few systems contracts for the new products we're introducing. Those costs were partially offset by positive value gap with positive pricing and deflation, and if you excluded the cost overruns, the results would have been approximately flat for aviation. Healthcare had another great quarter. Orders of $5.2 billion were up 2%. Equipment orders were up 1%, up 3% ex the impact of FX. If you go by region, the Americas were up 3%. EMEA, Europe, Middle East, and Africa was down 5%, up 1% if you adjust for FX. Asia Pacific was up 3%, China was up 18%, India was up 14%. Service orders were up 2%, and overall orders faced basically tougher comparisons as the fourth quarter 09 orders were up 11%. We ended the year equipment backlog of $3.9 billion, up 6% versus the fourth quarter 2009, so come into the year with a strong backlog. The team really converted well. The revenue of $5.1 billion was up 8%. We saw very broad-based growth. MR was up 25%, ultrasound was up 17%, CT was up 5%, life sciences was up 2%, MDX was down 4%. And it's also nice to see growth in HCS business in the U.S., which was up 18%. Segment profit of $1 billion was up 10%, and that was driven by the strong equipment volume growth. Transportation continues to see improvements in the market. As Jeff said, they've got a very good outlook. The rail volume in the quarter, not for the industry, was up 11%. Park locomotives continued to decline. We had $1.4 billion of orders, up 55%. Equipment orders were up 65%, and service orders were up 41%, driven by both North American locomotives and mining equipment. We ended the year with backlog of $3.7 billion, up 50% over last year, so a strong year in orders. Revenues of $1 billion were up 66%, driven by the equipment. We shipped 116 locomotives in the quarter versus 92 last year. We also shipped 186 locomotive kits internationally versus 78 last year. And service revenues of $515 million were up 106%. Segment profit of $73 million was positive versus a loss in the fourth quarter 2009, driven by the higher volumes and also easier comparisons in the service operations. So, you know, as we enter 2011, we continue to see strength in healthcare. The transportation environment was tough in 10, but it's clearly improving. And aviation's in line with expectations, and we have expectations for about flat performance and profit for 11. So the other thing in 2011, we'll be reporting these three businesses separately now. With the Direct Connect to Jeff, there's no recast involved. It'd just be completely reported separately as they exist today. So there's no recast as John Rice is now leading our global growth and operations team in Hong Kong. So we're excited to see John in that new role, and we'll just keep this reporting directly connected and simple as we have been. Finally, from a business perspective, Charlene Begley and the Home of Business Solutions team had a good quarter in the fourth quarter. Revenues at $2.3 billion were up 5%, and segment profit of $139 million was up 6%. Appliance market in the quarter was up 6%. Retail was up 9%, and contract channel continues to be tough, down 12%. We saw strong retail volume driven by Black Friday promotions. Lighting continues to realize savings from the restructuring and rationalization. Intelligent Platforms had a good quarter. And the profit was up, driven by the volume and productivity, partially offset by lower pricing in appliances. You know, we're with housing where it is, the market remains challenging outside of big sales events. We continue to see the shift in the business to more energy-efficient products, and we're spending a lot more on new products. We're investing across the entire product line. And for the year, we received over $200 million of Energy Star tax credits, which more than offset the higher product costs that reduced the segment profit to make the appliances qualify for Energy Star. And those credits will continue in 2011. So for the year, Home and Business Solutions segment profit was up about 24%. And finally, before I turn it back to Jeff, I just want to update one page from the December analyst meeting on pension and operating earnings. You know, on the left side, we just updated this for our 2010 results. The pension team delivered 13.5%. Which is good earnings performance in the pension fund. As we said in December, we lowered our long-term pension return from 8.5% down to 8. The discount rate ended 2010 at 5.28%, a 50 basis point reduction. And new salaried employees are going to join a new defined contribution plan. We've closed the pension plan for salaried employees going forward. And going forward for GE Financial Reporting, we're going to report operating EPS, which means that we're going to include the service cost for our pension in operating results, and it excludes the non-operating retirement-related costs like the amortization of prior gains and losses. We'll not make a pension cash contribution in 2011. And on the right side is the financial impact. The blue bars are the total pension expense, and the green bars are the operating costs for pension, the annual service cost for our employees that will be in operating results. So for 2011, on an operating basis, the pension expense will be about flat at $1.4 billion. And versus our original plan, that would be a 6-cent improvement to the 2011 outlook. So as you update your models, Joanna and Trevor will work with you to answer or clarify any questions on this. We think this change provides better clarity to operating results, and our measurement framework will be on the operating basis going forward. So with that, let me turn it back
to
Jeff.
Thanks, Keith. I just want to close with a couple charts I went through at the December meeting. First on the operating framework, I think 2011 will look a lot like the fourth quarter, positive growth in industrial, GE Capital earnings snapback. We'll have the NBCU dilution, less restructuring, and pension, as Keith said, will be flat. So we have a good outlook for 2011. Total operating earnings
should be up nicely in 2011 as we look forward. So I think what you saw in the fourth quarter is a pretty good precursor to what you're going to see in 2011. CFOA, we talked about between 12 and 13 billion. You know, we'll continue to work on working capital improvements. And then from a revenue standpoint, industrial, about 5% organic. Acquisitions will be on top of that. GE Capital will be down about 5% with continued management of ending net investment. And NBCU will be accounted for as an equity investment corporate. So, again, this outlook, I think, just was fortified as we closed fourth quarter, but no real change versus where we were in December. You know, kind of the way we think about operating EPS going forward in 11 and 12, we've got a set of headwinds in 2011 as we ship fewer energy equipment units, the NBCU dilution, and the higher R&D spending, but a lot more tailwinds as we go into 2011. Transportation, healthcare, strong GE Capital, M&A, and those will be the drivers to strong earnings improvement in 2011. And then as we shift gears and look forward in 2012, we'll have, I think, fewer headwinds. We see the backlog for heavy-duty gas turbines and wind continuing to improve, but that'll play out over time. We'll be spending at the higher run rate in R&D, but we should have earnings growth in both aviation and energy infrastructure in 12. GE Capital continuing to move forward, aviation and transportation, retire the preferred stock. So we'll have more tailwinds as you look at 2012 versus 2011. And again, this just confirms what we talked about in the December meeting. And the last page, just a point of view on kind of how we think about ourselves from an operating goal standpoint. We want to continue to grow operating earnings in excess of the S&P 500, have organic growth in services and in growth markets between 5 and 10%, keep GE Capital between 30 and 40% of total operating earnings, grow cash more than net income, and as we restore the GE Capital dividend, you know, that's still something that we're focused on to be prepared for in 2012. Continue to increase our ROTC and maintain industrial ROTC greater than 15%, and just continue to drive an attractive dividend payout ratio. These are the things that we have as key internal operating goals that we want our investors to believe in. And then just, you know, to conclude from an outlook standpoint, you know, the best, most focused portfolio in memory, committed to balanced and disciplined capital allocation, I think really well positioned for long-term organic growth. You saw some of that in the fourth quarter. I think a very valuable GE Capital business, and our performance is accelerating, and I think our financial results show that. So, Trevor, with that, let me turn it over to you, and let's take some questions.
Great. Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Keith. Michael, why don't we open the lines and go into the questions now?